You want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Wednesday morning. Thanks for getting up, joining us here again today. We got a good crew in here over in the queue. And as I explained to folks the other day, anybody's welcome in the queue. You got to go to CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com, click on Join the Huddle, and boom, you can pop right in here with us and it becomes interactive. Some of you, I know you listen to us on the way to work on the phone. Some of you do it in the background while you're doing other stuff. Some of you listen to us on tape delay. Some of us pick us up at YouTube. You're not getting us on Facebook because, of course, we're not allowed. Joining us here again today, we got it is what it is. But I appreciate the fact that you're all joining us here this morning. If you do try to get in, sometimes at the beginning it spins and spins. It's because Jared, the web guy, you got a lot of things going on behind the scenes. He's got to let you in. You when you come and join, you go to CoachDaveLive.com, click on Join the Huddle. You have to be invited in. So it may take Jared a couple. You know, it may take him a little bit to get to you. So just bear with us. He will eventually get to you, and welcome aboard. I'm going to give a fair, clear warning up front. Backup, Coach. Backup. Still looking for guys that want to go to Panama City, Florida. Excuse me, December 9th through the 14th. We're going to go in on a Sunday. We're going to go out on a Friday. If you could even only go for a couple of those days, we would love for you to be able to come. If you are interested in going and you don't have the finances to do it, email me, say, Coach, I'd sure love to go. Need some help to get down there, and we'll figure out a way to get you down there. And it's a great chance. Chad Estes always tells us it's church camp for adults. And when we get back down there, it's going to have been almost 2 months since the hurricane hit. It's unbelievable devastation still. We'll cut up a lot of wood. We'll move a lot of brush. We'll do a lot of kind of stuff. We're really not even into the rebuilding phase yet for some of those places. If we're going to put a team together and go down, try to do the rebuilding and all that stuff, that's a whole different phase. This project is going to go on forever and ever. And then I had somebody ask me yesterday, Coach, are you going to go out to those California wildfires? Oh, geez. Like to. I'd like to, but no, we're not going to have a chance to do that. So thanks for joining us today. I got thinking yesterday, tried to give everybody a warning yesterday. You know what I think I'm going to do? A tinfoil hat. I'm going to quit wearing it to the most part. Morning, Todd. You know why I'm going to quit wearing it? Because I've reached I think it's kind of playing into the enemy. Have you noticed this? Anything that doesn't fit the establishment plan is a conspiracy theory. Have you noticed that?
Thank you, Coach. I agree 100% with you. Where are you going with this?
If they haven't come up with the idea, it's a conspiracy theory, right? Hillary Clinton, she stole all that money through uranium one. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory, right? Donald Trump's in collusion. You know what I'm saying, right? It's all, if it doesn't hit mainstream box, as David Arthur says, safe in the cage box. If it's not safe in the cage box, conspiracy theory. Now, I'm not going to take the time to do it. I could take you to, you can Google it yourself. You will find out that the term conspiracy theory was a phrase coined by the CIA during the Kennedy assassination. And the reason they came up with that word conspiracy theory was to try to ridicule anybody who said it wasn't Oswald. That's where the whole thing started. Oswald did not act alone. If you said that there was more than one person to it, well, that's a conspiracy theory. And they've now done that with every governmental act that goes on out there. Well, it's all just conspiracy. In other words, building number 7 falling at the Twin Towers without being hit by anything That would be a conspiracy theory. Even though your eyes show you that that couldn't possibly have happened, that's a conspiracy theory. If you happen to question anything along that with that goes against the government planned response, that's a conspiracy theory. Can I take you someplace else? Take my glasses off for this because I'm leaning forward. They do the same thing to us in the church. Same thing. If it doesn't fit their set doctrine, it's conspiracy theory. Or it's doctrines of demon, the didaka domania. So I'm here to tell you that we as Christians are losing the battle because we don't even understand the battle. We don't even get it. So I'm giving you a fair warning today that I'm going to present some stuff to you that you, I'm pointing to you, yeah, you, you're going to write it off as a conspiracy theory. And you're going to go tell your friends and you're going to laugh and you're going to chuckle, ha, 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 because as David Arthur would say, you're safe in the cage. And you want to go sit safe in the cage with everybody else. But I have to tell you that there is something beyond what we understand that's going on in this natural realm, something unbelievable going on. And I'll tell you this, you're not going to hear about it in church. Okay? You're going to hear about it here today. So if you are set on your theology and, you know, don't send me any emails. Oh, you can if you want to. I'll decide which ones I respond to. Here's what I want you to know. I don't know. What I'm going to do with what we're going to do here today, can I be gut honest with you? I don't know. But the fact that I don't know doesn't mean I don't want to know. And if something is being taught to me that's not the truth, I want to know it. And if something is being taught to me that is the truth, I want to know that too. I want to do, Rush Limbaugh coined the phrase, a relentless pursuit of the truth. I'm after the truth. And I'm going to try to coin something, not coin, that's not the right way. I'm going to try to touch some subjects today that are not going to make some of you very, very comfortable. I'm not going to go there today, okay? But let's just take this one, for instance. We have entire denominations, entire branches of Christianity based on what they call being charismatic. The gifts of the Spirit, being slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, giving a word. About half, a third of Christianity believes that. But there's half that doesn't. The Baptists don't believe in any of that. So the Baptists make fun of the Church of God. So who's right? The Church of God, right? Assemblies of God, do they have a right? Have Assemblies of God believe in speaking in tongues? The Baptists think it's of the devil. Hey, folks, it can't be both. It can't be both. But you want to be safe in your cage. You want to sit in the box that they put you in and gnaw, just chew on the little bit of meat that the pastor might throw to you every 3 weeks. He might throw you a little dab of it. And then you might have a question and you might go to your pastor and you ask him the question. He says, oh, well, we don't believe that here. Okay, well, cool. The fact that you don't believe it doesn't mean anything. Some of you believe 911. Some of you believe that. I brought up the idea a couple weeks ago of high energy weaponry. Or direct energy weapons out in the California fires. I got emails, people tell me I'm crazy of you. Now, hey, I got one this morning, right here. Excellent short presentation on direct energy weapons of all kinds and how they work. But see, the big group will tell you, well, that's just you don't believe that, do you? You're not, who would do that? Right? And as a result, we don't believe they're doing it, and they're doing it. Are you with me? Okay. Am I making, cause I'm laying it out. So I got, I ran into a situation, been running into a situation where some people want to blame the devil for everything. It's always the devil this, the devil that. And as you know, we've been discussing the last few days here on here about Hesed and some of that stuff. A lot of stuff's not the devil. It's just you. It's just you that you won't break a pattern of sin that you have in your life. And the easiest thing to do is to give in to it. That's the easiest thing to do, just to give in to it. When I say, no, don't give in to it. But because some of it is just a fleshly desire, some of it just your fleshly human nature, and Christ told us that there's no temptation that comes upon us but that which is common to man. Sometimes you can be tempted just to eat a piece of pie by walking by looking at the pie. It ain't the devil. It's your carnal nature, okay? It's your carnal nature. Some of you can be scanning across your computer screen and a girl in a bathing suit come up and all of a sudden it catches your attention. That's not the devil. That's your carnal nature. It can be your devil. Can be the devil, but it's your carnal nature. And temptations, when you give in to temptations, you then, I believe, invite in the demonic. Okay? I think that's how it works. I'm not an expert, but I'm going to try to lay some of that out here for us. Okay? So you buckled up. I didn't put my tinfoil hat on, although some of you are going to laugh your way all the way through it. You can do that all you want to. It doesn't really matter to me. Jared, let's go to, I got so much stuff I want to talk about. Jared, let's go to Genesis 6. Hey, folks, we're going to talk about the spirit world today. We're going to talk about demons today. Are they real? Where did they come from? And I'm going to tell you this again. I don't really know. But I can read. Yeah, I can read. And I'm going to make you a little nervous because I'm going to maybe even mention the book of Enoch. Now, somebody told you you shouldn't read that book. Somebody who's safe in the cage told you you shouldn't read that book. And I say about the book of Enoch, doesn't matter to me. No, it's not the Bible. No, it's not canon. But Enoch was what? He was one of the two guys that was so righteous. He walked with God. And then what happened to Enoch? He was no more. He was translated, went directly to heaven. One of only two people that ever happened to. And so he leaves behind a book in the book of Enoch. And they said, well, it's not scriptural. Okay, but it's historical. So yeah, I'm going to pull out some of those extra biblical sources, such as Webster's 1828 dictionary. You know, that's an extra biblical source. Did you know the internet is an extra biblical source? Why do we think that we can't use extra biblical or sources beside the Bible to confirm what's in the Bible?
Doesn't God use creation to show himself and demonstrate himself?
Dale, that's why I like having you in here, man. That's why I like having you in here. And for us to totally and completely separate the spirit world and the natural world, I think is one of the great deceptions of all time, perpetrated upon the church. And the fact that we've been taught that the devil's just after your finances and after your health and after your kids and after your job and after your car. And we've just personalized the devil and lost sight of the bigger aspect of what's going on. Okay? I just want to say this up front. When I got into this stuff, man, this really changed. It changed my perspective on how I view it. So I want to start right now. Jared, let's start nice and easy. I said Genesis 6. Pull that up here for me, Jared. Hey, guys, you can jump in here at any time. But like again, Mark, I don't know. Is Mark Trump in here? It doesn't matter if he is. Mark's a busy guy. Data, Mark. It's all about data. Data, data. The Bible, Mark Trump taught me, is data. And we got to be willing to want to go deep into the data. Instead of just reading the Bible linearly, in other words, flat, page to page, got to go deep. So it came to pass, Genesis 6, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Born unto who? Men. Okay. That the sons of God, huh? Wait a minute. I'm confused. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, stay with me, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they, the sons of God, took them wives of all which they chose. Don't come back to that. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. Now, just out of nowhere, they pop this in. There were giants in the earth in those days. Huh? And also, after that. What? When the sons of God, there they are again, Jared. There they are. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. Wow, I'm scratching my head here. And they bear children to them. And then those children became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. In other words, they became famous. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made the earth, and it grieved him. And we know what's going to go happen next, right? The Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repented him that I made him. Then he goes to Noah. So Jared, let's walk through this together here, boys and girls. Hey Jared, I just sent you I'm sorry. Jared, let's pull up this one right here. Let's pull up who were the sons of God in Genesis. Let's pull it up there. This is 3 minutes and 40 seconds. This is just a little video I found because we just read about the sons of God. So let's try to identify who those guys were. Because by the way, we're all God's children, right? So who are the sons of God in Genesis? Go play it, Jared.
Who were the sons of God and daughters of men in Genesis 6, 1 through 4? We're going to answer that question. Genesis 6, 1 through 4 refers to the sons of God and the daughters of men. There have been several suggestions as to who the sons of God were and why the children they had with the daughters of men grew into a race of giants. That is what the word Nephilim seems to indicate. The three primary views on the identity of the sons of God are A. They were fallen angels, B. They were powerful human rulers, or C. They were godly descendants of Seth intermarrying with wicked descendants of Cain. Giving weight to the first theory is the fact that in the Old Testament the phrase sons of God always refers to angels. A potential problem with this is in Matthew 22:30, which indicates that angels do not marry. The Bible gives us no reason to believe that angels have a gender or are able to reproduce. The other two views do not present this problem. The weakness of views B and C is that ordinary human males marrying ordinary human females does not account for why the offspring were giants or heroes of old men of renown. Further, why would God decide to bring the flood on the earth when God had never forbade powerful human males or descendants of Seth to marry ordinary human females or descendants of Cain? The oncoming judgment of Genesis 6, 5 through 7 is linked to what took place in Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Only the obscene, perverse marriage of fallen angels with human females would seem to justify such a harsh judgment. As previously noted, the weakness of the first view is that Matthew 22:30 declares, "At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven." However, the text does not say angels are not able to marry. Rather, it indicates that angels do not marry. In addition, the verse is referring to the angels in heaven. It is not referring to fallen angels who do not care about God's created order and actively seek ways to disrupt God's plan. The fact that God's holy angels do not marry or engage in sexual relations does not mean the same is true of Satan and his demons. View A is the most likely position. Yes, it is an interesting contradiction to say that angels were sexless and then to say that the sons of God were fallen angels who procreated with human females. However, while angels are spiritual beings, they can appear in human physical form.
Wow.
The men of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to have sex with the two angels that were with Lot. It is plausible that the angels are capable of taking on human form, even to the point of replicating human sexuality and possibly even reproduction. Why do the fallen angels do not do this more often? It seems God imprisoned the fallen angels who committed this evil sin so that other fallen angels would not do the same, as described described in Jude 6. Earlier Hebrew interpreters and apocryphal and pseudepigraphal writings are unanimous in holding to the view that fallen angels are the sons of God mentioned in Genesis 6:1-4. This by no means closes the debate. However, the view that Genesis 6:1-4 involves fallen angels mating with human females has a strong contextual, grammatical, and historical basis. That answers the question.
All right, so children, class, comments to what you just saw there. Because see, a lot of times when I bring this up with people, they just don't want to go there. They don't want to deny that. They say the sons of men were something else. Anybody have a hole to poke in what we just watched there?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I got. They mentioned in the Book of Enoch, they also, I believe they warn against transgenderism. And so I'm always saying, why 500 years ago they took the Book of Enoch out of the Bible, generally. So, you know, I think you take out things so that people aren't prepared against them.
Okay, Vinny, so you're on page 12 and I'm on page 2. We're not even in the Enoch yet. I'm just talking about, because there are a lot of people who right now they're going to tune out because we're talking about something that's not in. Okay. We just read from Genesis. Does anybody disagree with what we just saw there? By the way, that was really just a pretty common. That wasn't biased at all. It just kind of said, this is, looks to me like this is what this is, right? This is what this is.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I've always viewed children like when you adopt a son, he becomes my son. Okay, God created the angels. They were all sons of God. That's the way I view that.
Mm. All right, I'm not going to argue one way or another with it. I'm not trying to make an argument one way or another here. I'm trying to lay something on the table and let's chew on it. Go ahead, Larry.
Dover, that view lines up perfectly with John 3:16 because it signifies that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He's got his created sons, he's got his begotten son, and he has his adopted sons.
Wow. Cool. Jared got up there, Abraham Lincoln said, this is a quote Abraham Lincoln said, the eyes of that species of extinct giant whose bones fill the mountains of America have gazed on Niagara as our eyes do now. Now, wow. Stay with me a second.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I think, too, just from a natural standpoint, we have to at least consider it because look at genetics. The human race at large, if you know, two Chinese people, they have an offspring that looks like them, right?
Right.
Same with Caucasian or black or whatever. So if you look at genetically, we have to consider, because we know that the giants had oftentimes six fingers, six toes. Just from a genetic standpoint, a person, if they deny the giants based on genetics, they're just ignoring. They're ignoring science, in my opinion.
So let's make this simple. Let's take, for right now, let's take the giants out of the picture. Okay, let's just deal with the fact that according to what we just read, the sons of men, God came down and had sex with the daughters of men. Okay, let's not talk about what that produced. Let's just talk about the fact that that evidently appears to have happened. Jared, let's go to Webster's 1828 dictionary and look up demon. What is a demon according to Webster? Webster says that a demon is a spirit or immaterial being holding a place between men and the celestial deities of the pagans. The ancients believed that there were good and evil demons, which had influence over the minds of men, and that these beings carried on an intercourse between men and gods, conveying the messages of men to the gods and divine benefits to men. Hence, demons became the objects of worship. It was supposed also that human spirits, after their departure from the body, became demons, and that the souls of virtuous men, if highly purified, were exalted from demons into God. pagan he's talking about now. The demons of the New Testament were supposed to be spiritual beings which vexed and tormented men. And in general, the word in modern use signifies an evil spirit or genius, someone smarter than the average guy, which influences the conduct or directs the fortunes of mankind. Demon. That is a demon. Okay? So I'm not an expert on this, but I can think. Angels are immortal. Angels, if I understand it right, they don't die. So if it were possible, as we read in Genesis, that these angels came down and had sex with me. I don't know how it happened. I can't explain it. But I'm not going to laugh it off, okay? Let's say this came down and happened. And that, so we have a part human and a part angel, and they mate. Whether they become a giant or whatever they become, whatever. They clearly were here. We just read it in Genesis 6. We read in Jude 6. Go to Jude 6 real quick, Jared. We can't pick and choose what we're going to believe in the Bible. We can be confused by it. Genesis 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. So Jane angels left their first estate. They did that. So if they came down and they had sex with women and they created a being that could not die. The way I read it. So when we had this hybrid and they bred, and when the natural life came to an end and the human part of it died, the angelic immortal part of it was now disembodied. I feel like somebody's got a question or a comment.
They weren't God's creation anymore.
They were not God's creation anymore. They were something that God had not created.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I kind of think about the fall, the Genesis, the apple, and the rebellion of humanity. You know, think about it. Jesus entered into time, right? He entered into time. So in the beginning, we made a mistake. What if the fruits of that mistake happen over time, right? The sin, it opened a door, and then things started coming through the door, so to speak, right?
Right.
I mean, into time.
And the problem got so big that eventually he had to flood the world, right? This having sex, these angels entering in and mixing with the DNA, by the way, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was going on in the days of Noah? It was mixing DNA. They were doing cross species. What does Mark Trump call that? Transhumanism. It was transhumanism taking place back at this time. Whenever this time was, there was transhumanism going on. And God said, that ain't good. I'm sorry I even made these guys. And he floods the earth. This is how I'm reading it. Now, he floods the earth and kills all these transhumans, but they can't die. They're immortal. Part of them is immortal. Where do they go? Jared, go to disembodied spirits. Because I think it's important. I told you guys this. I go to Got Questions. Seems to me to be a pretty reputable Christian website. Are the demons the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim? Say, who are the Nephilim? Well, we just read who they were. Although these has links. It says, as a background, please read our articles on who were the sons of God. Well, so we just did that, okay? I just played that video. That was it. Okay, so who were the Nephilim? With the understanding that the sons of God were the fallen angels, and that the Nephilim were the hybrid transhuman, hybrid offspring of that union between the fallen angels and human women The question then arises, what happened to the spirits of these hybrids who were killed, whether by the flood or in the case of possible post-flood, Nephilim, this is Genesis 4, Numbers 13:3. What happened to them?
Right. It's important what you say, because they were physically killed, but they weren't spiritually killed.
That's right. Some speculate that the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. Listen, folks, listen to me. I don't care whether they're giants or not. I don't care about their physical appearance, although that may become possible. If they're real, that may become a problem at some point. Right now, we're just talking about dead spirits, right? People died and their spirits didn't die. And they're now disembodied spirits, because the only way you get into the earth is through a body. And so when you leave your body, you go somewhere. Well, angels are immortal. They don't have anywhere to go. Some speculate that the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim remained on the earth and became what we now refer to as demons. The presumption is that as angelic human hybrids, transhumans, the spirits of the Nephilim, that word there even scares us, okay? The spirits of these hybrids would have been different from the human soul spirit having the ability to remain present in this world despite no longer having a body. This would possibly explain the desire the demons have to possess human beings.
Yes.
Thus gaining control over a physical body. This would also make some sense from the perspective of the fallen angels, who are outnumbered 2-1 by the holy angels, giving them a good reason to seek to increase their ranks. Somebody's trying to come in. Come on in a second.
I was going to say, that's why the demons, which are disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, they have their physical desires yet, but their curse is they cannot fulfill it, and that's why they must possess something in order to try to fulfill their desires.
Denny, you're on page 13 and I'm on page 7.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I just want this all to make sense to us. Listen, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. Well, shouldn't somebody somewhere along the line in your Christian walk, shouldn't you sit down and have somebody say, hey, you know, here's a theory. And have you ever heard this ever in your church? Here's a theory of what's really going on. No, I mean, I never did. No, I go to most churches. If I bring this up, they'd laugh me out of the place. Stay with me. You see, the Nephilim explanation of the origin of the demons, boys and girls, what is a demon then? Just the fallen angels? That's all a demon is? Demons is partly the result of a misunderstanding of exactly who are the spirits in prison in 1 Peter 3:6 and also Jude 6. We just read Jude 6. Many misunderstood the spirits in prison to be all of the fallen angels who rebelled against God. If all of the fallen angels are in prison, then there must be an alternative explanation for the existence of demons. If all those angels, fallen angels, are locked up in prison, then where did the demons come from? Thus, the need for the Nephilim, people hate that word. The need for the, what do we call them? Transhuman. Explanation.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
It just makes me furious because you cannot tell me that Christians throughout the years have not been intellectually curious about what that stuff is talking about. And it almost makes you wonder, all this that's been done was where we are today and why we're where we are today, because Christians don't bother to be curious about what they're hearing or seeing and reading in the Bible.
And even worse than that, Paul, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We are under demonic control and don't even believe it. Don't even understand what it is. We don't talk about it in our churches. We don't believe that it exists. And it's very, very clear that this is that spiritual war that's spoken of in We Wrestle Not Galatians. The Galatians, we wrestle not Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. It doesn't make any sense to us because they don't tell us about it. They don't even question it. You're not even allowed to bring it up. You bring it up, they laugh at you. All tinfoil hat. There he goes again.
Well, didn't Jesus says when an evil spirit leaves at man, and what does it do? It wanders around in desert places, dry places, and it goes and returns and finds that house or that person unkept and clean. And it says, and it brings seven more worse. Brother, these are demonic spirits that are here on the face of the earth. Now, to me, to real quick connect the dots, Satan hates God, always trying to destroy anything that's of God. So we see first that Satan's trying to pervert it by what? You know, conceiving with human beings to distort human beings. And then when I realized that when you study Old Testament, that's why when God commanded the Israelites to destroy all the Jebusites, all the Amalekites, because they were devils, they were created devils. And then when he couldn't do that, guess what Satan does now? He says, well, I'll just get people to kill God's creation themselves. Through abortion.
Hey, amen, Dale.
Do you remember this? Remember he forbid
Bingo.
Them to
intermarry? Mic drop.
Why did he forbid them to intermarry? Why did he forbid them to intermarry? Because some of them were not clean. So don't intermarry. If all the angels are in prison, then there must be an alternative explanation. However, clearly not all of the fallen angels are in prison. Satan, the leader of the angelic rebellion against God, is not imprisoned. Why would God allow the rebel leader to remain free, but lock up all of his soldiers? No, it makes more sense to understand the spirits in prison as the fallen angels who participated in an additional rebellion, the sons of God, daughters of men incident. The fallen angels who made it with human females are the ones who are in prison. There's no solid biblical evidence to reject the idea that the demons are the same beings as the fallen angels. The idea that demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim is also drawn from the book of Enoch. Oh, I know it's extra biblical. Which goes into great detail regarding this very thing we're talking about. We have to remember that while the book of Enoch contains some truth, Jude 14, it's not inspired or inerrant in the authoritative word of God. However, I would say, we should never base a belief exclusively or primarily on extra-biblical literature. So with no need to explain the existence of demons outside of the fallen angels, and with no clear evidence in scriptures for the spirits of the Nephilim continuing on earth, there is no solid basis on which to identify the demons with the spirits of the Nephilim. While the idea is possible, it cannot be derived explicitly from scripture and therefore should not be considered the best explanation for the origin of the demon. That makes, I agree with that. It's an explanation for it. It's not canon. It's not, man, oh man.
Well, Coach, let me just interject right here to those who want to sit here and do the absolutism, nothing else but the Bible. I say, well, go into any Christian bookstore. 90% of the books on the shelves are not Bibles. There's a little section over there that's Bible, but then you got all these other teachings and book studies. I said, go into any person's house and let's look at their library and see how many of them all are just Bibles, or open up their DVD cases and see how many of their movies are nothing but the Bible. I mean, it's so hypocritical.
Daniel, that's why I love having you in the queue. Isn't that the truth? Beth Moore says, Joel Osteen says, but then when I want to say, Enoch says,
Hey, Coach.
But, Coach, how did they preach the gospel in the early Christian days? They were using New Testament and other sources, weren't they?
They were, brother. They sure were.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
Piggybacking on what Dale said, for all those who are the Bible and only the Bible, if you've ever prayed for your Aunt Sally, guess what? Aunt Sally ain't in the Bible.
Hey, listen, I'm going to say this again. I don't care whether you believe it or not. I couldn't care less. But this makes me curious. This makes me think, no kidding. So that's what's going on, huh? Hey, can somebody tell me again, why are my people destroyed?
For lack of knowledge. And just like you say, Coach, it was only as of 500 years ago that this is extra biblical knowledge. Before, it was biblical knowledge.
Hmm. So let's say we believe there's demons, but you ask the average person, what is a demon? They ain't got any idea.
They'll call it their kids.
They'll just blame the devil, right? It's the devil. No, no. I'm not going to go into detail. I had a demon after me yesterday. Subtly, kept tapping me on my shoulder, kept tapping me on my shoulder. And a thought would come, and I would start to give life to it, and then whoops, I'd realize what was going on. I fought that thing all day yesterday. Not a big thing, but it was real. So I want you to sit down now, sit back here, because I got a. This is about a 9-minute video, but I think it's well worth seeing it. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Tim Alberino. Tim Alberino is an associate with Steve Quayle. There goes some of you already. Oh, there they go. Well, Steve Quayle. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. Tim Alberino, by the way, is a Cleveland boy. He's from Cleveland. Done a lot of research on this stuff. I came across this and I just kind of sat back and I said, wow. Wow. And so I'm going to play some of this here and see if you don't find yourself saying, wow, as if this doesn't explain, is it as if this is not a plausible explanation for some of the stuff that we see going on. Go ahead and play this, Jared. Maybe you can go ahead.
It's important to understand that the giants that were produced from the sexual union of the watchers and women in Genesis 6 and in the book of Enoch and the book of Giants, those entities were judged before the flood, that after they perished in the flood, I do believe some of them escaped. So did David Flynn, by the way.
Yep.
The grand majority, the vast majority perished in the flood. And after they perished in the flood, not just the giants, but also all of the host of other sentient entities that came as a result of the fallen angels having intercourse with animals, that their spirits, but specifically the giants.
I want you to think about this Greek mythology and all these creatures, half horse, half. Could that have some biblical basis? Did the angels have sex with animals? Go ahead.
I don't know actually about the other entities, but specifically the spirits of those giants that were a result of fallen angel with human woman, with angels with women, that those spirits were judged in the book of Enoch, that they would have to wander the earth bodiless, and that they would be called unclean spirits. They would be called evil spirits, evil or slash unclean spirits on the earth, and that they would hate humanity, especially the women from whom they proceeded. By the way, the women were turned into sirens, according to the book of Enoch. And there's a whole deal with that. But these entities, the spirits of these giants would wander the earth bodiless, that they would basically, in a paraphrasing what it says there, they will be hungry, thirsty, have sexual desires, but they won't have bodies to fulfill those things. So they'll be bereft of their bodies, but they'll have all the desires. Imagine being hungry, but not having a body to fulfill your hunger, or being sexually charged, but not having any way to fulfill your sexual desires, or being thirsty and not having any way to fulfill your thirst. That's what these entities, these spirits were sentenced to, that kind of a reality. Those became the possessing spirits. Those were the same unclean spirits that Jesus would cast out of people. And they knew that the Son of God was coming to judge them at some point in time. That's when Jesus appeared on the earth, they came running to him, and they declared in more than one occasion, "We know who you are. Why have you come to judge us before the appointed time?" And Jesus told them to shut up. Mm-hmm. And so those are clearly the spirits of the giants, clearly, from the book of Enoch. So that tells us what those unclean spirits are and why, which was always a mystery to me, before I came upon the works of Steve Quayle in the book of Enoch. was a mystery to me why unclean spirits with whom I had to deal with, not personally, but in other people, wanted to inhabit the bodies of human beings to begin with. Never understood that. Why do you want to be in there in the first place? Why do these entities come in mass, not just one or two, but sometimes hosts of them will inhabit one human body? Why? What is the appeal there? It made no sense until you realize that they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're sexually charged, they're bereft of bodies. So what do they want? Bodies to fulfill the lusts of their flesh, to okay, have flesh, to fulfill.
Okay, folks, we'll make this available. This is about 12 minutes. This thing is really, really, really good. A reaction to that. Does that make sense or not?
It makes perfect sense. It explains a lot right there. I mean, that explains everything.
Paul, do you remember when Jesus at the Gadarenes, when he cast the demons, the legion, right? When they mm-hmm. cast them out of the demoniac at the Gadarenes, what did they ask to do? Let us go into the pigs. In other words, they still wanted to be able to possess some type of earthly body so they could do what? Fulfill the desire to eat, and drink, and have sex. I saw this the other day. Are you kidding?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Is that where you got the term deviled ham from?
Yeah, maybe.
Somebody just add a little humor to it.
So that's good. It's all good. It's all good. Come on, somebody else, come on.
Just going back to the beginning, Coach, I just think the modern-day church, if you want to call it that, Christians that don't talk about this, don't want to go here, reminds me of my children when they was young. They're scared. They just put the blanket over their head and think everything would disappear. And I think that's what the church has done. If we just don't talk about it, the demons won't exist and they won't bother anybody when they're roaming right around everybody.
Matthew, Denny, you're right. Matthew 8. Jared's got it right there, I think. It's Matthew 8. Jared, words begin on verse about 28, if you will. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils, plural. Coming out of now, listen, folks. Is the Bible lying here? Is the Bible lying that people were possessed with devils? Is this a falsehood? They met with him two possessed with the devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What the heck, Jesus, are you doing here? Where'd you come from? Did you come here to torment us before our time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many pigs feeding. So the devils went to Jesus and said, please, if you cast us out, at least let us go into the pigs. And he said, okay, dude, go. Is anybody going wow yet? Anybody listening going wow?
Wow. You nailed it. You're nailing it, and there's more to come, I am sure. But this is quite a tapestry once you start knitting it all together.
When you begin to just use your mind and all these things that have been unexplainable, say, how does he act like that? Or how about this? You mean to tell me, huh? What? You walk into Walmart, and have you seen some of those people in there? Can you tell me that something isn't wrong other than just the fact that they're dumb or stupid or uneducated? Are you kidding me?
And then in that same passage of scripture, Coach, you see the hidden jewel of why the church doesn't want to talk about it, because when those swines were destroyed, they begged him to leave. Why? Because he was messing with their money.
Here's the point Dale's making. Let's go ahead. Let's finish this up because this is so good. And so he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of the pigs, and behold, the whole herd of pigs ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished into the waters. And what Dale is saying, somebody just lost their entire herd of pigs. Somebody standing there is now broke. They're broke. And they that kept them fled. The guys who had the pigs fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what had happened to those possessed of the devil. And he's out there and he's griping and he's moaning. He said, good Lord, they kill all of my pigs. And if we let this guy keep coming around and doing this, they're going to kill all of the pigs. And then what are we going to do? And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him and said, please get out of here, will you?
Hey, Coach.
Started to hit the pocketbook, didn't it, Dale? Yes, Serge?
I was always wondering, what do you think the reason was that they jumped off the cliff and drowned? Was it that by drowning, they were released from that body, and then they were able to go to anywhere as they wanted to?
Well, we know this, Serge, that if they were released from that body, they're now disembodied again. And as Dale said earlier, now they're looking, they're in a dry place. They're looking for someplace else to go. But obviously, the pigs died, and then those guys had to come out and go.
Hey, coach. Yeah. So why did they jump off the cliff and drowned? Because Jesus said it'd be better for you to have a millstone wrapped around your neck and to be drowned in the water. it's a connection.
Oh, man. Come on in there. Somebody got 9 minutes left.
Couple questions right. I never thought of before. What were the Jewish guys doing with a herd of pigs, number one? Number two, what would have happened had people eaten the pigs that were possessed by these demonic spirits?
Oh, my goodness.
By plunging them into the water, was that the baptism of the spirit that destroyed those spirits, or did it just set them free?
Man, each one of those deserves about a 35-minute discussion.
That's why. Can demons inhabit pigs, and that's why they're a prohibited meat for the Jews?
Lord, you took the words right out of my mouth. Is awesome. That why the Lord said, don't eat pigs?
Quick answer to one of the questions. It doesn't identify who the owner of the herd of pigs was. We don't know whether he was Jewish or not.
That's true. Yeah, he could have been maybe not a Jew. We don't know that for sure. But okay, so let's
Coach,
let's,
wait, I have something.
Oh, Karen, I hate it when you do this because it's usually pretty deep.
Okay, then I won't say anything if you don't want.
Go ahead. I'm just kidding.
Jared, could you please go to Hosea 4:6? As we close out this, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. So as you take all this information in today, you will be destroyed if you reject the truth of the knowledge of what is in the Bible. And not only will you be rejected, but your children will also be forgotten. Take it seriously what you hear.
Oh, but Karen, that is, man, I got goosebumps. That is so deep. How many of us have lost children to the world because we haven't taken this seriously? That we have not understood exactly what is going on in our family. It wasn't just their secular education. It wasn't just that they got lost to the world, that there's something far deeper and more insidious spiritually going on than we've even been taught in our churches.
I think most people look at that verse and tie it directly to the cross and the cross only.
Yes, sir. Man, oh man. Roger, that's why I'm saying, and you know what, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There's some demonic activity going on in people that are around us when things are going on that do not make sense.
Amen, Coach. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, as I'm listening to the show this morning, it makes me realize how much religion just wants to spiritualize the Bible and Jesus, and they don't want to talk about the practical things.
Safe in the game.
When you go to the practical things, it opens up doors that we have to at least consider. I like what you said. We don't have to even agree with all of it, but at least open up our minds to consider it.
Yeah, George, just take the idea of the Nephilim and giants. Just put that out of your head. just put that out. Let's say they weren't giants. They were just regular people, just like me and you, except they were hybrid mixes. And don't ever forget this. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What's going on? What was going on in the days of Noah? Evidently some mixing with the seed. It seems to me was some mixing of the seed going on in the days of Noah. What's going on now in America? What seems to me, not just in America, there's some mixing of the seed. Artificial intelligence, transhumanism, all this stuff. Jeez. But see, we won't understand what's going on today if we don't understand what was going on then. The church doesn't even want to talk about it. They laugh at me. They laugh at me.
You know what Roger said about so many people, you know, take it and only apply things to the cross, only to the cross. Well, you know, there's a very popular Christian song called Only Believe. Well, what did Jesus have to say about those who only believed? He said, even the devil believes.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than just believing. My goodness, how can people be so, you know, some people say, use a nice word, so spiritually blind and all that. My question is, how can people be so stupid?
Well, the devil believes and trembles. We believe and we don't even tremble. Got about 4 minutes left. Help me bring this thing home.
Hey, Coach, a couple of days ago, didn't we find out that over in China, they perfected altering genes?
Well, not on, Benny, I didn't even talk about that. I don't know if you people saw that. They have now created a way to alter the genome. They now have done it in China. They've done it in humans, altered the genome in human beings. They did it in China.
Coach, don't you think that God, when he created everything, he said he was well pleased. And Satan has set his whole course is destroy everything that God has created that was well pleasing to his sight, including plants and animals and everything. And that's why everything was destroyed the first time. And because Satan had even corrupted the plants and everything. And what are we doing today? We're doing
the same thing. Folks, listen. The spirit world is more real than the natural world. The spirit world was here before the natural world was formed. It says in the book of Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. There was a time, there is a spiritual world that is in existence beyond this natural one. If you don't understand that, if you don't understand that this natural world, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, is this eternal battle that's taking place over the control of the earth.
Hey, Kate.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Coach Randy here. Hey, I want to challenge everyone, and here we go on books again, but there's two books by this man, Michael Heisner. The first book, Unseen Realm.
The Unseen Realm.
Awesome. It will educate. It is a 13-year work, a scholarly work by this man. He's a PhD in probably two or three different things. He's a scholar, but he brings this down to earth where it's really clear. It's an awesome book. It'll teach what we're saying to the T. Yes, and then the second book is called Reversing Herman, Jesus' Forgotten Mission. They're outstanding. I challenge everyone to read those books.
I'm going to get them both. I've heard about the Unseen Realm, Randy, but I've not read it. I know Mike Heiser, not best friend, but I know him. And I know that he's on the cutting edge of this. Folks, just look at what's going on with the transhumanism and the artificial intelligence and realize that we are returning to the days of Noah. It's a more advanced days of Noah. And please block out of your head giants and think that this is only about giants and the Nephilim. The Nephilim were mixed offspring, very clearly spelled out in Genesis. Mixed offspring. It's in Jude. Mixed offspring. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The battle we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Come on, man. Connect some dots here.
You just said it.
You just said it, Coach. The seed of the serpent.
Amen. The seed. The seed. Hey, the Coach. Offspring.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna just say something to kind of go with what Larry said. You know what? We can fix ignorance. We're all ignorant in areas. So ignorance is not bad if we're working on learning, but you can't fix stupid. So I encourage everyone, be ignorant and open to learn, but don't be stupid and shut your mind off from learning.
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Investigate it yourself. Don't take my word for it. You want to know the truth? You got to dig it out, man. You got to mine the truth. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.